Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Joshua, and we'll read this in just a moment. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read verse 8, then we'll go to Psalm 19, 105, and all of this will be on the screen to make sure you catch it. And we'll go to John 17, then we'll go to 2 Timothy, then we'll start in the book of Genesis and read all the way to the book of Revelation. Okay, come on, stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet, let's read God's word. If you're able to stand, we do that in honor of God's word. It's a custom we have here. Let's go with Joshua 1 and 8, a message I've entitled, The Map Can Be Trusted. The map can be trusted. Let's read the word of the Lord, New King James. If you have it, you can read out loud with me. Joshua 1, verse 8. Ready, set, go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto a feet, a light upon my path. In New Testament now, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Would you say that with me? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is, sorry, I can't hear you. Your word is, truth. Try it one more time with gusto. Your word is, truth. Very good. And last scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Gracious, awesome, mighty God, I pray today that you would give us ears to hear and a heart to respond, and you would anoint these lips of clay that as I preach, as I teach, it would burn faith in the hearts of your people, truth in the hearts of each and every one of us, as we reveal the truth of your word and what your word is to us, a roadmap to fulfill your plan for our life. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, his word's true. Go on, turn to somebody else and say, he's going to spill the tea. Go ahead, tell him. You may be seated. God has a divine assignment for your life. He has a divine assignment for my life. We are created and formed by God with intentionality. He created us and made us for a purpose. You have a, come on, say, I've got a purpose. Yeah, it's important. If you don't understand that you have a purpose and you don't understand that God created that purpose, you very possibly will miss the mark. You will miss fulfillment. In my 20s, I didn't really understand that at all. And then by the time I was in my 30s, I began to have understanding. And it's helped me quite a bit. You must understand that God has a plan. He knit you together when you're in a mother's womb. And he doesn't make you people haphazard. He makes them with purpose. Every single person here has a purpose from God. Not every single person here will fulfill their purpose. But as far as it depends on me, I'm going to teach you and help you to fulfill that because it's important. You will one day, we all will one day, stand before a holy God to give an account for our lives. That's called the judgment seat of believers. If you're born again, there is a judgment seat of the unbeliever. The judgment seat for the believer, which a lot of believers don't believe that there is a judgment seat, but you're going to give an account for your life and how you've used your talent, your time, your treasure. We're giving an account. I'm just so glad that we're not measured according to somebody else's abilities. You'll be judged according to what he gave you, not somebody else. And in fulfilling God's plan, a divine assignment, you have to know what the assignment is. I mean, what is the assignment? Pastor Alex, not knowing what I was preaching in this service, gave a great teaching this morning, the first and second, had no idea what I was preaching on, but about seeking first the kingdom of God. Well, what is the kingdom? What does that even mean? How are you going to fulfill the plan if you don't know what the plan is? We've started a series, and in this series, this first message is to show that we have a map, which is really God's word. A specific plan is revealed in that. But here's the issue. If you don't believe that this is God's word, then you have a very significant problem. I love how God confirms things to me. He speaks to me in all kinds of ways. You look through scripture, and how does he speak to people? Well, he speaks through his word. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through prophets. He speaks through donkeys. He speaks through creation. I've had a bird speak to me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He speaks through people, wisdom and a multitude of counsel. He's a speaking God. But if you don't understand this to be actually his word, then you won't believe it. You won't stand on it. Now, God spoke to me through the past 2 weeks. I had more people come up to me and say this. Well, that's just a book that man wrote. And but the third time I heard it, I thought to myself, how many times do I have to hear this? I think we need to just decappuccino that thing. So I'm gonna take the head off of that. Because some of you don't even believe it. You cherry pick, you believe part of it, you believe the parts you like, maybe, but you don't, the parts that you don't want to, like tithing or lust or gluttony or those certain parts that you know you just are okay with. Let me ask you this question. Here's the question I want to ask. You ready? Come on, brace yourself. Who has final authority in your life? Who is the final authority in your life? I remember years ago, my kids at home. And I said, I have final authority in your life. He said, I thought God does. I am him. I'm his ambassador. Your mom and I are God to you. That's when they were younger and, you know, it was partially kidding. But the truth is, who has final authority in your life? So answer that question just to yourself rhetorically and answer who are you ultimately responsible to? Me. That could be a problem. Who governs your life? I mean, who is the governing authority over you? Who tells you what to do? Nobody. I do whatever I please. Satan did that. You do whatever you please, you're going to end up in trouble. Who defines what's true for you? Who defines the T? Who defines what's true for you? You say, well, I do. Okay, that's a huge problem. Why is that such a problem? Raise your hand if you're honest and you've been wrong before. Okay, there's a problem. We've all been wrong. We've all blown it. We've all fallen short. I remember witnessing to a kid at the gas station not long ago. And I began to tell him about the kingdom of God, Jesus as our Savior, and how God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And he said, well, I don't believe that. I said, oh, what do you believe? And he started talking about Teletubbies. No, seriously. Oh, I believe that when you die, you just go to this place where there's all these Teletubbies and rainbows and stuff. And these people go, I mean, what a bunch of nonsense. Should I give you the sign language for that? You said, what was that? This is a bull. So you can figure the rest of it out. It's a lie. I'm going over here not feeling the love on that side. Come on, it's a lie. It's a lie. Well, that's what I believe. I can believe what I want to. Yes, you can, and you can go to hell. Amen. So the problem with you thinking what's right, you believing what's right, if it's not based on truth, you have a problem. And the problem with human reason is our understanding is limited. It's finite. You don't know how planets, how planets don't crash into each other. We don't understand the time-space continuum. Again, I know some of you understand that. Praise the Lord. Most of us don't understand all that much. I've found this, that the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know very much. Right. And every honest, educated person will say the same thing. The more you learn, the older you get, the more you realize you only got like a thimbleful. Reason alone can never be our authority, our ultimate authority. Reason alone can never be our authority for how we live because it's limited. And reason makes a mistake, makes mistakes. Just look at history. I love France. One day we'll have a church there. I've got relatives that sowed, planted churches all over France. One day we'll reopen those wells and see a great church planting effort in France. How many know France needs that? You study French history, the Reign of Terror. Does anybody know what their God was? It wasn't God. Their God was the God of reason. And so what's reasonable to somebody is not reasonable to somebody else. Reason cannot be the basis of truth. The end result of you being the final authority, the end result of you being the final authority is it's not good. You are not to be biblically, understand what I'm telling you, you are not to be the final authority. You do not have the corner on what's truth. Well, it's my truth. Well, your truth could be a lie. You say, well, that's kind of intense. Yes, because if you try to fulfill God's plan based on your truth, you will not make it. Lift your hands to heaven. Come on. Say, God, speak to me today. Speak to me today. Hallelujah. The Bible is the Word of God. It's the map. We've got our cute little video that hopefully encourages you to invite people and come to church. That's why we use it. But the truth is, I'm not really cutesy. I'm trying to relate and reach as many people as we can. And I like that they said, I was reading this thing and said, you know, if you're preaching now, today's generation, you need to use words like journey. No, I'm going to use words like hell. How about that? Like, We're all in process. God has a plan for us, a purpose. We've talked about that. It's the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God and is a map for how to fulfill the plan and purpose so that when you stand before Him, you hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's five proofs here that make the Bible the map that you should follow. Five proofs. Write them down if you can. The first thing is, the Bible claims to be the Word of God. It claims to be God's Word. You'll see in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. So you want to know how to be righteous? Well, it's in the Word. It claims to be God's Word. 2 Peter 1:20, above all, New Living Translation, it says this. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came about from the prophet's own understanding or human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit. They spoke from God. They spoke from God. The Scriptures claim to be the word of God. You say, was that all that big a deal? Yeah, because a lot of religions and their writings don't claim to be the word of God. It would be a concern if the word of God didn't actually claim to be the word of God, but it does. Secondly, it's inspired. Inspired. That Greek word is fascinating. How many of you ever felt inspired? I hope to inspire you now. But in the truest sense of the word, when you see it, it's inspired. It means God breathed. It means the breath of God flowing through someone to communicate what God wants to communicate. The word of God is God breathed or God inspired. Breathed out by God himself, says one definition. So scripture is not man's ideas about God. It's God's words through men. Let me say that again. The scripture is not man's ideas about God, like many other religious writings that come straight from the pit of hell. You know, by the end of this message, I'm going to destroy some of the arguments that some of you have in your mind about God's word. And you will fight hard. Part of you will fight hard to not hear it. And you know why? How come? Why is that? Because if you really discover that it's God's word, if you really discover that this is true, that this truly is God's word, then where does that leave you? Where does it leave me? It leaves us in a place of having to be accountable for it and obey or suffer the consequences, which can certainly be an abortion of God's plan, maybe even the missing of heaven. I'm so, anybody thankful that God's merciful? He is merciful and kind. He's loving and compassionate and long-suffering. But he brought you here to hear this message because if you're going to fulfill God's plan, you better have a map. You better know what it is. You'll find it here. You'll find how to live. It's the word of God is inspired. It didn't originate with man, but man was used with God's breath flowing through him. The whole thing is inspired. The whole thing. Genesis to Revelation. John 10 and verse 35, Jesus says, and scripture cannot be broken. In Romans 3, 2, it says that they've been entrusted with the very words of God, Paul writing to the church in Rome. They've been entrusted, of talking of the Jews, they've been entrusted with the very words of God. What is he referring to? First of all, that is the New Testament, so he's not talking about the New Testament. We'll get to that in a minute. He's talking about the Old Testament. The Old Testament are the words of God and their truth. They're inspired. Matthew 5 and verse 17, New Living Translation. I'm going to read it to you. Don't misunderstand why I've come, says Jesus. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law. Whose law? God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But if anyone who obeys God's law and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 36, Jesus quotes David. And he says this. He says, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David. What? You spoke by the Holy God. He's talking to the Father. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of David. That is a picture of the scriptures. The New Testament saw Jesus' words, his own words, as authoritative. Matthew 5 and 21, you've heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. And he goes on to say, but I say to you, he's putting his word above the Old Testament law. You shall not commit adultery. He's quoting the Ten Commandments. But I say to you, listen to what he says. You should not even lust after a woman in your heart. Jesus is putting his words, the authority of his words, over even the Old Testament. But that's amazing. You know why? Because Jesus is God. If you have some Jehovah's Witness theology in you, you just squirmed. Jesus is God, fully man. In John 5 and 24, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Jesus' word is God's word because Jesus is God. So much here. You see, the New Testament writers were just as inspired as the Old Testament prophets. That's a theological understanding you need to get. The New Testament writers were just as inspired as the Old Testament prophets. Let me move on. The Word of God is proven, trustworthy, and unshakably reliable. It is proven, trustworthy. Say it with me. The Word of God is proven, trustworthy, and unshakably reliable. In 1947, an Arab shepherd boy discovered one of the greatest archaeological finds in the history of the modern world. He discovered what's called the Dead Sea Scrolls in this area called Qumran. And in the fourth cave of the discovery, they found a massive library through these caves. And they found the Dead Sea Scrolls that contain every single book in the Old Testament except the book of Esther. All of the Old Testament except the book of Esther. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? The big deal about that is when they were written was 1,000 years before Christ. Let me try that over here. Pastor Karen, I've got her attention. She says, that's amazing. It's amazing. 1,000 years before Jesus ever come, you have Isaiah 53. You have over 300 Old Testament scriptures that talk about Jesus. I mean, you got to have more faith that he didn't exist and isn't the Son of God than it is to have it. But a lot of people don't want to put the work in. They have lazy scholarly efforts and just want to wink at it or not really accept that it is God's word, because if it is, then you're responsible, as I said. So it's easier for the guy who sits in the sauna and say, well, you can believe whatever you want to believe as long as you believe. Well, you don't believe that, really. It's spouted off. It's not true. No, truth matters. Come on, someone say truth matters. Yeah, the truth matters. And so these cave four, every single book of the Old Testament, multiple copies of biblical texts such as Genesis, Deuteronomy, and Isaiah were found. Scholars were able to reach back for the 2,000 years in time to examine biblical texts that laid undisturbed in desert caves for all those centuries. So what's so significant about that? Here's what they discovered. I'm going to read it to you. Scholars discovered that the Hebrew manuscripts, the most authoritative Hebrew text, a Masoretic text used by the King James, translators of 1611, were virtually identical to these in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Why is that? How is it that in 1611 they could have documents that were virtually identical to thousands of years before? How's that even possible, Pastor? I'm going to tell you why. If your whole life and your eternal results of your life were determined on whether you made the right letter right now, like if you got a piece of paper out and you made the letter with a T, it just had to be just right, and it was made perfectly. You did it right. Because if you didn't, you're going to miss everything. These scribes, this culture, was God-fearing and understood one mistake could utterly destroy their lives. An overwhelming respect and fear for God, motivated by Jewish customs and scholarly works. It is absolutely amazing. The New Testament is the same. See, how is that possible? How many of you did a stud, any studies in ancient history. The Gallic Wars, Caesar's Gallic Wars, the closest documents that we have to prove that there was a thing called the Gallic Wars, 900 years after the wars. We have documents, we have 4,000 to 5,000 documents that are between 70 to 100 to 200 years from when it was originally written. Listen, they didn't have Xerox copy machines. They didn't do a scan to take a picture of it with their phone. But their lives were committed to sharing the truth and expressing the truth. So holy it was. St. Jerome, a Catholic, we went and saw where he was scribing in a cave. He put his foot on a skull, a human skull. Why would he do that? To remind himself of his mortality and the holy thing that he was doing. See, we don't think like this now. There's very little of the fear of God. But what you're reading in your hand, what you hold in your hand right here, oh my gosh, I might preach. I just might. It is the number one selling book since it came off of Gutenberg's printing press. It's still the number one selling book ahead of whatever the New York Times bestsellers list is. They just don't put it on there. It is the number one book of all time. It's, in fact, Bible means book. Furthermore, it is the most accurate historical document in the history of mankind. And if you have an argument in your mind, it's only because you're uneducated, which I'm trying to remedy right now. And I'm not even going deep into it. I'm just scraping the surface. There's people, right, Dr. Capo? There's people who give their whole lives to textual criticism, it's called. They study textual criticism. They study why this is God's word. And oh, it is. And I'm only about halfway through the proofs. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus and say, his word is truth. Come on, someone say the map is for real, for Rizzle. Say it. Oh my goodness. F.F. Bruce, for you note takers, book, The New Testament Documents, Are They Reliable? He compares to ancient manuscripts, and it is truly, truly profound. Herodotus, 480 to 425 BC. Is known to us from manuscripts and writing were copied. Manuscripts and writing about Herodotus and the history that he wrote about. The closest document we have, 1,300 years. And nobody questions whether that's actually real or not. And the reason they don't is because it's not God's word. And it's easy. Oh, man wrote that. Yes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If you study through this, through textual criticism and understand that this, the apostolic fathers, many years, they were questioning whether the Gospel of John was written in the first century or not. Some suggested that it was in the second century, but they found a little piece of papyrus dated all the way back to the first part of the second century, saying that the book of John had been written in the first century by the Apostle John. Say, what's so significant about that? It's just over and over and over, you see all of these proofs. It's trustworthy. It's unshakable, unshakably reliable. The theological word is inerrant, immutable, unchanging. I mean, you can go into the ancient scrolls of Syriac and Latin and Coptic and all of that. Not only does the Bible, number one, claim to be God's word. Number two, it's trustworthy, reliable. Number two, inerrant. Number three, we're proving God's word is truth, because if you don't have that right, you won't be able to draw forth the truth of your identity, and you won't be able to figure out God's plan. God's word is true. Say it with me. God's word is true. It's not truths. It's absolute truth. Christians believe, based upon God's word, that there is truth, absolute truth, as revealed by God in his word. There's not many truths. Not only does it claim to be God's word, not only is it trustworthy or reliable, but its character shows it's God's word and that it's truth. See, what do you mean by that? You're dealing with history. It's history, his story. I love that. It's history. It's not some make-believe place where there's mythological creatures like the Vedas and all these strange writings throughout all of history. It's history that can be proven with archaeology over and over and over. It is true. So I believe in science. So I believe in science too, but science doesn't disprove God's word. God's word proves science, really. I mean, come on. Come on. Do you remember when they were like, stop eating butter for God's sake? You eat butter, you're going to die. Margarine is the thing. Anybody remember that in the 70s?
Parquet.
Anybody remember that? Yeah, now we discover that margarine fills your arteries and kills you. Now they're like, butter. Butter is the way. We never converted. Thanks, Mom. We just could never do parquet. Butter all the way, baby. Butter, butter, butter. Butter, 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 butter. And eggs. Do you remember eggs? Oh, eggs. Eggs will have cholesterol. The food pyramid. Turn it upside down. It's about right. Can I get an egg? I got one person worshiping in the back. They have diabetics and they're like, just eat a bunch of fruits. Eat cereal. What kind of Dane Bramage? Now eggs, you know what they say about eggs? They're the perfect meal. Eggs! Fantastic. They're virtually wrong about everything. Thank God for his word. Amen. Oh my goodness. The character of God's word. He speaks, he acts, he speaks again, and then he explains it. It's word, event, word is what it's called. You're dealing with a God who worked in human history. He said, this is what I'm going to do. Prophecy. Then he does it. Then he explains why he did it. Over and over and over and over. Word, event, word throughout all of Scripture. That is the way that it is. You're dealing with real men, real women, and a real God who works through them all. You read the book of Acts, for example. You feel and see what these men did. You read Paul's letters, you get to really kind of know Paul in a way, but at the same time, it's God speaking through him. Isaiah and Jeremiah, two totally different prophets, but you see their personality in it, yet God speaking through them. There's another thing called logistical consistency. Both God and men are writing the scripture. Scripture basically is written by men, but the origin is divine. So when somebody says, man wrote that, yes, but the origin is divine. Well, who determines that? Great question. You can go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and you will never come to the place where you discover that this is something that's false, this word of God, unless, of course, you have the New World Translation, the Book of Mormon, or Doctrines of Covenants. That's all made up. Did I just step on something? I'm trying to be sweet. The word of God. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, it's the word of God. It's truth. There's what's called canonization. The word canon is a unit of measurement. And there are what's called tests for canonicity. It's the standard. Canon means standard. It means what? Standard. Now, I'm scraping the surface. You want to dive in and go deep, go for it. It'll build your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You start getting this in. You start realizing this is truth. Every solution you need is found in God's word. Every problem you have, there's an answer for it in God's word. In fact, that's one of the tests of canonicity. Is that when the word comes from, we know it's from God because it's a message that's all generations. In other words, when it worked back in 100 AD and it works now in 2026, the word of God works. Come on, somebody say it works. And it fits no matter what culture you come from. It's still true. That's one of the tests. Oh my gosh, I'm getting excited. Another test is basically if you do it, you obey it, you get what it says. I mean, that's proof that it's God's word alone. Oh, my goodness. Written across 1,500 years, 35 different authors, kings, priests, vine dressers, laborers, all saying the same thing, never contradicting itself, not once. Come on. That's amazing. It truly is amazing. Come on, somebody say that's amazing. Unified, really, from Genesis to Revelation. The words of prophecy are fulfilled. Oh, I could go on and on and on, but the words of prophecy is just amazing. I'll use the illustration and move on for the sake of time. The odds of just a few of these prophecies coming about Jesus, the mathematical odds, and there's people who've literally studied all of that. People, I mean, I'm just, you know, 1 + 1 = 2 is like the degree of my math. Thank God for mathematicians and people that can think like that. Anybody good at math? God bless you. Not my strong point. Mathematicians have studied these statistics and studied the mathematical possibilities of just a few of these prophecies coming to pass, and to put it in language so that us who don't understand math so well could grasp it. Just like taking silver dollars and covering the smaller state of Texas to the south of us, the smaller state, not Alaska, Texas, with silver dollars up to your knee, the entire state. And just one of those silver dollars, you would have a special mark on it. And if you flipped a silver dollar that had a special mark on it into the sea of silver dollars covering the smaller state of Texas, the mathematical probability of just a few of those prophecies coming about is like you walking into the state of Texas on the very first time, you reach down and you pull up the silver dollar with a mark on it. It is mathematically impossible. God's word is true. And it's the basis by which we find our identity. It's the basis by which we receive the plan. It's the basis by which we have understanding of who he is. He is not a God of your own understanding. He is the God of the scriptures revealed in history through his prophets, through his men and women of old who walked the earth. And he's undeniably true based upon archaeology and things they haven't even found yet. Oh, but the archaeological finds are a whole nother thing. No, it's easy just to give a nod to it and say, oh, man wrote that. Yeah, you're dumb. Bump your neighbor and say, he's not talking to me. These prophecies are specific. They're meticulous. They're not mumbo jumbo. I heard somebody read something out of a mumbo jumbo book. I have no idea what they even said. You look at the book of Daniel, chapter 9, 25 to 26, which I taught on Good Friday. It gives the years, maps out prophetically when the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem. And on that day, it's figured out April 6, 32 AD, Jesus rode in. It's fulfilled. We know that from the book of Nehemiah, when that time, that stopwatch starts, given from Daniel 9. And when it comes to fulfillment of when the Messiah comes into Jerusalem, we know the dates. We have them. And that's when Jesus rides into Jerusalem. He said, you, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill their prophets, you do not know the time of the day, the day, the exact day of your visitation. Oh, my goodness. When you read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that he wrote them. Somebody once told me that just go and get the lost books of the Bible and read them and tell me what you think. First of all, they're not lost. No lost books of the Bible. People want that because if I could just have the real revelation. Now, I'm giving you the real revelation, and it's closed. The lost books of the Bible aren't lost. They just don't fit the tests for you note takers of canonicity. They don't fit the prescribed understanding of what actually makes the Word of God the Word of God. I probably should have put it in my notes, but has to last for all generations, has to come from an acknowledged holy man, prophet, apostle. Can't just be written by Jack Frost. Oh my. When you read those lost books of the Bible, again, they're not lost, but they call them lost. I had somebody say, I was reading the Book of Thomas. I'm like, what? Book of Thomas. And in the Book of Thomas, they say that Jesus, he would carve birds and they would fly. You know, he's a carpenter, and he learns some stuff like in India. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, no. Some of you want to go so deep, you'll drown. It is very simple. God's word is closed. The reason the lost books, which aren't lost, aren't in it is because they don't fit. They're powerful. You can read them. They're great, but you have to read it with discernment. I went, so somebody said, go to the library, go read those things before internet. It was quite a while ago. I went and I don't forget which book it was. I said, oh, God, speak to me. And I just opened it up and started reading. I'm like, that's weird. Like, oh, that's kind of cool. Oh, I see that in other places of scripture. Read through. Oh, what? That's weird. And you, listen, go ahead and do it. Those of you that are discerning, you go read through it and you'll realize, oh, that's good. That's scripture. I've read that before in the Bible. And then all of a sudden, what's that? Yeah, it's not God's word. It's a mixture. All right. I know you're getting something, as am I. God's word is the ultimate authority and source of the truth. The truth, singular, absolute truth. To fulfill God's plan, you must meditate on it, learn it, live it, submit to it as the final authority in your life. We're talking in these next weeks as I bring this to a close. Can I have worship team, please, to bring comfort to all those who've been fried? We're talking in this series about fulfilling God's plan. If you don't have this as the cornerstone of that, then forget it. Because then where are you going to find the plan? Where are you going to find truth? You're going to make it up? You're going to pick a few things, but then keep some other things that you don't like? No, you are not to be the ultimate authority. God's word is the ultimate authority for your life. And through it, we're going to discover God's plan, his divine assignment. Did you get something from the Lord? Through the word of God, Psalm 1, we're blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he doth, King James, meditate on it day and night. We'll be blessed if we obey the word. Walk in prosperity, Joshua 1:8. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will be prosperous and successful. The word of God keeps us from sin and convicts us, Psalm 119, verse 11, Hebrews 9. The word of God brings healing to your flesh. Deliverance. Oh, Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whitherto I sent it. The word of God generates faith, Romans 10, 17. Brings salvation, brings joy, 1 John 1:4. All right. Warning. Everybody say warning. All right. Revelation is a warning. I'm giving you a... You can go ahead and play. It's all right. It's a warning. Play some warning music. Revelation 22, verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Whoa. If anyone takes away from the words of this book, this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in the book. That is a very severe warning. There are many religions that take away from God's word. And there are many that add to it. For example, the Islamic faith. I see the Quran as revelation. It is not the word of God. Allah means God, but it is not the God that you and I serve. In fact, just read recently that really Allah is Satan. I mean, you start digging deep down into it and you see the original child prostitutes, child prostitution rings, and everything comes out of Islam. Is it uncomfortable here yet? Let me see if I can throw some gas on it. It is perverse. That is very rude. And their job is to either convert Christians or kill them, Jews alike. Some people are afraid of saying it because you're going to get in trouble. I find that I would be in greater danger if I didn't teach you the word. The Hindu, the Vedas as their revelation. And people take away from it. You had a group called Mormons and Latter-day Saints. Just the 1800s now, that's when that was created. Glasses that are made of gold. Tablets that came from an angel called Moroni. And in that, Joseph Smith receiving revelation. I think he called them Egyptian hieroglyphics. Having brought those, of course, they don't have the glasses anymore. It's just the 1800s. And some of you have a house that's older than that. Maybe not in Alaska, a sod house or something, I don't know. They don't have the glasses. They don't have the tablets. They brought this supposed hieroglyphics to scholars. And what they discovered was that it was very similar to a Mayan calendar, reversed. The Mayan calendar had been given out by Humboldt all over America at that time. It was reversed, and it was absolute gibberish, made no sense at all. Zero. I mean, it goes on in the Doctrines and Covenants and on and on and on and on. And I know many Mormons that are better Christians than some Christians I know. God-fearing. But theology matters. Doctrine is important. And we could go on to talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses that pull things out and change Scripture. No. Here's what they discovered. That there is over 25,000 words and phrases in the Book of Mormon that are directly plagiarized right out of the King James Version of the Bible. contradicts Bible, it contradicts history. It says, for instance, that Jesus is born in Bethlehem, and we know flat out he wasn't born in Bethlehem. And pardon me, it says that Jesus is born in Jerusalem. He wasn't born in Jerusalem, he was born in Bethlehem. We know that for a fact. Now, it's nothing more than a plagiarized rendition of some man who created his own religion that I think had a lot of issues. I got one amen, and everybody else, you all right? Welcome to Kings. I'm glad you're here. I'm not mincing any words. Jehovah's Witnesses too. They're Christian cults is what they are. Are we to love them? Yes. Are we to speak the truth? Yes. Is it offensive? Totally. As I've gotten older, I would avoid arguments. But as I've gotten older, I'm just burdened by people who are deceived. They don't know the truth. And nobody stands up and teaches what I just taught you. And so then you have people that are like, well, you know, yeah, I'm just letting my heart lead me. Your heart's black. You need the Word of God to lead you. You need truth, absolute truth. Some hogwash and stuff that's taught on the internet. Oh my goodness, lift your hands to Jesus. Some people add to it, some people subtract, Jehovah's Witnesses. Some people ignore it. Don't be the one who ignores it. Embrace truth. Embrace the Word. It's the way to victory. It's the way to real prosperity. It's the way to real success. Did you get something from God? Stand up on your feet all across this place. Lord, thank you for the design and the plan that you have for us. We don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I'm more concerned about that, God, than offending somebody. I don't want to offend you above all else. So Lord, help us to be sweet as we stand our ground, as we preach and teach your word, that it causes people to never come back again. For that, I would grieve. But Lord, at the same time, I will stand. We will stand before you on that day to give an account. And I cannot help, like a fire shut up in my bones, we cannot help but preach and teach your word. Thank you for truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Put your hands together for God. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not right with God, don't leave this place in that condition. There's a place called hell. It wasn't intended for you to go there. There's a place called heaven. That's where God wants you to go. But you must make a decision to live for Jesus. You must believe that he died on a cross and rose again from the grave and repent of your sin. The Bible says this: to as many as believed in him, he gave them the right. He gave them the authority to become children of God. Understanding from that scripture, without believing in him, and James says even the devils, demons believe and tremble. Believing is receiving the whole message. To as many as believed in him, he gave them the right. If you don't believe, you don't receive, you don't repent, then you don't have the right. And you're not his child. He wants you to be. He's reaching to you through my voice today to repent and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God, it says in 1 John, it says in John chapter 1, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of light, truth. His name is Jesus. You must receive Jesus, the King of the kingdom. To go into the kingdom, you must receive the King. And the only way you do that is by repenting, asking him to forgive you for all of your wrongs. I've done it years and years ago. I'm going to affirm my faith now, along with hundreds of others, but maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Do it today. Do it today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you, you want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time, or you want to make a recommitment to him because you drifted in your commitment. You want to come home. On the count of three, if that's you, slip your hand up. One, online as well. Two, three. Do it right now. Lift your hand. My goodness. God bless you. God bless you. Lift your hand high.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Over on this left side, God bless you. Wonderful. Pray with me. I see all those hands. Thank you for your honesty. Pray with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father. Come on, right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on a cross for my sin. I believe he rose again from the grave. And I ask you today to forgive me for everything I've ever done wrong. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Write my name in your book in heaven. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Would you lift your hands and surrender to the King of Kings? Lord, with hands raised all across this place, fill and touch each and every one. Give us a hunger for your word, that we would grow by the word, that we would meditate on your word, that we would learn your word, we would live your word. And out of that truth, we would see your plan brought to fruition. We would see the wonder, working power of God put on display in the healing of sick bodies and broken minds, and the setting of people free from idolatry. Let your word dwell in us richly. Give an insatiable hunger to your people to read, to know, to live your word, that out of that we would fulfill the divine purpose, divine assignment that we have. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your best hand clap together for God. Oh, come on, don't stop. You can do that a little bit better. His word is real. His word is true. He's the King of Kings. Shout to God. Come on. Hallelujah.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.